This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We have Carol Roth coming up about a half hour from now. Trump met with Jerome Powell. Apparently they threw food at each other. No, they didn't actually do that, but they didn't get along, and I want to know why. All that and more coming up in this final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. But first, I'm gonna talk to you about a fear that I have, and it might be unfounded, and it might not be. But first, why have you ever heard the saying, at least when it comes to military matters, or a saying similar to this, dead men have killed a lot of people? You ever heard something like that before? Well, I will tell you, in combat, not to get too gritty on you here, but in combat, if you're in a firefight, let's say you're clearing a house or something like that, and you've just shot somebody, they don't advertise this on the Army recruiting brochure, but if you're in the home and you're moving by and you're in a hurry and you got to get upstairs and you're clearing rooms, it's very, very common to put one in his head on the way by. That's weird, isn't it? Almost kind of dark. Don't mean to be dark. In the Marine Corps, they can't necessarily teach you that, so they try to teach us the eye thump technique, where you go up and you basically take your finger and you flick somebody in the eyeball. Why? Because dead guys aren't going to respond. Somebody who's playing dead is going to respond. But you get the general concept of it. They don't want somebody sitting up behind you and shooting you in the back. People who are down and out and even severely injured are often at their most dangerous, and you have to make sure they're gone. And if you can't make sure they're gone or don't make sure they're gone, they may end up hurting you badly. Right now, the Democrat Party is an unbelievable embarrassment. They are bottoming out in every possible way. Pardon the pun, Pete Buttigieg. They are bottoming out in every possible way. And it looks like, from the outside looking in, these people will never achieve power again. Listen to this guy. He's a congressman. This is a congressman. He's on CNN.
Kamala Harris, for whatever you say about her, did connect with people culturally. There was the Brett Summer. There were all these people putting up the coconut memes. I think the problem with the party is that we didn't have a clear economic vision for working class Americans.
Kamala Harris connected publicly because we had Brett Summer. Chris, Corey, what is Brett Summer? I don't even know what that is. What is that? Nobody, Chris said nobody knows. Okay, but I do this for a living. I don't even know what Brett's... What? Lost, right? Speaking of the Rear Admiral, here's Pete Buttigieg, because they're out there trying to win back men, so of course you bring out Pete.
Of course we should be talking about how, if Speaker Johnson got his way, it wouldn't be possible, not just for gay people to get married, but for straight people to get divorced, let alone like birth control or how he would want to regulate porn or whatever most people would have a problem with.
Headline. Democrats tell party members to stop using left-wing lingo that makes them sound not normal. They're telling Democrats to stop saying words like intersectionality. Oh, I know. Just stay with me. Here's another one. Democrats spending millions, we talked about this before, to learn how to speak to American men and win back the working class. And one of the people they've hired is a morbidly obese feminist for this effort. I'm not making that up. The Democrats went out and hired a morbidly obese feminist to try to win back men. And I know what you're saying, Jesse. You appear to be proving everything but your point. You appear to be proving the opposite of your point. This party looks lost. Frankly, this party looks dead. There's infighting. They can't drop the trans stuff. They're trying to police their language. Rear Admiral Pete appears to be the most masculine member of the party. They look like they're gone forever. And that is what makes me nervous. Because we're not in a situation where you can give the entire Democrat Party an eye thump, nor should you do that. Keep your hands to yourself. They are not dead. They are not gone. They are down. They are out. They are, from the naked eye, they are mortally wounded. But they are still alive. And so here's my fear before I do a couple emails, then we'll talk about Elon Musk and all the other things, and Democrat lies and things like that. My fear is this. I am worried there is going to be a Democrat who rises. A Democrat who is extremely charismatic. It will have to be a man because the men have left the Democrat Party. There aren't any men left in it. They're gone. They lost them. So a woman is not going to be able to get men back into the party. She's just not. It doesn't matter who she is. I believe there will be a man, or I'm worried there will be a man. He will rise. He will drop all of the cultural Marxist language, and he will speak like you and speak like me. On the inside, he will be just as much as an evil, dirty communist as Jasmine Crockett, as AOC. But he will know to cover it up completely, to lie about who he is, and he will be effective about lying about who he is. I'm worried that he will get up and give speeches about being tough on the border and things like that. And maybe you think, well, Jesse, that guy couldn't ever win. Maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. But you know what people love in each party? Republicans love it and Democrats love it. You know what they really, really love? Winning. They love winning. Ronald Reagan was universally despised by the Republican establishment right up to the point Ronald Reagan won the presidency. And then they decided he's the bee's knees. To this day, everybody throws a Reagan dinner. Donald Trump, same thing. Democrats, same thing. They operate the exact same way. If this guy who speaks like a normal person, who talks about being tough on the border, who knows, looks, acts like a man, but yet harbors all the anti-American hatred that runs through the veins of the Democrat Party, I believe his winning will get the Democrat Party behind him, and he will do unimaginable damage to this country. And I don't have a name, in case you're sitting there waiting with bated breath for me to give you a name. I don't know. I don't know that person is on the political scene yet. Maybe he's not on the political scene at all. Maybe it'll be a private sector guy. Remember, we've had people say it's going to be Jamie Dimon or something like that. Or, Morgan Stanley, I believe, CEO, Jamie Dimon. I don't know. I'm not saying that name either. I don't know. But it's precisely the wounds, the mortal-looking wounds of the Democrat Party. That is the thing that makes me so nervous, because parties don't stay down forever. That's not how politics work. Political parties with money behind them don't stay down forever. And to be honest, maybe I'm just being cynical. The more they flop and flail and they're throwing millions at how to win back men, and you got Pete Buttigieg out there talking about how, oh, what we need is more porn, and the other guy's talking about brat summer, the more lost and listless they look, the more convinced I am there will be a phoenix rising for the Democrats, because that's how politics works. And I don't know, I'm not saying it'll be next year. I'm not saying it's going to be for 2028. I don't know how that would even be possible, but it's going to come. And that's a guy, whoever that guy is, again, it'll be a man. No woman will be able to do it. Whoever that guy is, that's the one we have to watch out for. Remember, Donald Trump is still in office, and Donald Trump is still popular, not because of you and not because of me, because normies like him. Normies want mass deportations. Normies, they want these things. And that's a good thing, right? But Donald Trump, he is popular because he appealed to the people who will go whichever way the wind is blowing. At some point, a Democrat is going to figure out how to get that wind blowing his way. And that's what makes me nervous. That's all I'm saying. Let's do a couple emails. And then I want to talk about this lie. Maybe you heard about this. Some dude just completely made up a school shooting? What? Let me talk to you about what you can rely on. Carol Roth is going to join us about 10 minutes from now. I bet you money, as we talk about interest rates and the unbelievably dangerous path we're on economically, bet you money, just call it a prediction. Obviously, I don't know yet. I bet you she brings up precious metals at some point in time. Why is it that China is buying up all the gold they can find? Why are people still speaking about this stuff this way? What is it, the year 1500? Well, precious metals last. That's why they were still using it in the year 1500. And guess what? In the year 2500, 3500, if God hasn't come back yet, they're still going to be using it. Protect your retirement with precious metals and get a hold of Gold Co. because they'll handle it for you. Gold Co. is the one I trusted with my money. Gold Co. has won numerous awards, A-plus rated from the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to know what you're doing. Let them protect your retirement. They know what they're doing. 855-817-GOLD or go to jesselikesgold.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Okay, now let's just talk about this. The GOP and the big, beautiful bill and the Doge cuts and whatnot. So Elon Musk is stepping away from politics. Some of this is because he is forced to by law. You can't, if you haven't been approved by the Senate, you can't just go work inside the government without end in the role he was in. There's a cap on that. So a lot of that's that reason. But the truth is, Elon Musk is frustrated and angry, as I warned you months ago he would be. Chris, did I not call that? Thank you very much. Don't roll your eyes, Chris. Elon Musk, famous for buying companies, trimming all the fat, got involved in the government, found all kinds of fat. It was like a feminist rally in there, and started trying to cut. Then the GOP started producing bills. Bills that didn't cut squat. Elon Musk is angry.
You know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along, I mean, like, everything he's done on Doge gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big, or it can be beautiful.
Now, a lot of people are involved in this process now. Trump, of course, has been browbeating Congress to pass it. Elon's upset with the corruption in it. You have some of the more conservative members of Congress in the Senate saying, no, I won't vote for it. It's too big. Others are saying we have to do it now. And so there's this big, you know, Trump versus the hard right versus all this other thing. My point, the only point I want to make on this, because we've already talked about this a lot. My point I want to make on this is this. There are two kinds of people. There are big picture people and there are detail people. And you know what they have in common? Both of them think the other one is ridiculous and holds them back. Both of them do. Here in the studio, me, big picture person. I don't give a crap about details. I don't want to know times, and I don't want to know what computer login program. I don't want to know anything. Your ratings in this city, but I don't even ask for that information. I have no interest whatsoever. I want to sit down and do the best show for you I can every single day. Jewish producer Chris, detail person. He wants to know. He wants the minutia. He needs times, ratings, this, that. He wants all the freaking details. Chris rolls his eyes, rubs his head at me that I don't give a crap about it. Me, I rub my head and roll my eyes at Chris that he cares at all. Both are necessary. Both are necessary. My marriage works the exact same way. I'm big picture. Ob hates that. She's detail. I hate that. Both are necessary. When it comes to Trump and the Congress and Elon and these types of people, I've told you before, I get what Trump is doing. I get how he thinks. Trump, not a detail guy. Very obviously not a detail guy. Doesn't mean he's good. Doesn't mean he's bad. Doesn't mean he's right. Doesn't mean he's wrong. Doesn't mean he's smart. Doesn't mean he's dumb. No, I don't think he's dumb or anything like that. What it means is he's a big picture guy. Hey, it's a big bill. Whatever. Throw my stuff in there and pass the bill. I want the bill passed. You need that guy. But you also need the detail guy. Well, hold on. On top of the stuff you want in there, Mr. President, there's a bunch of corruption in there. There's a bunch of garbage in there. You can't pass that. Detail guy looks at Trump and he says, why aren't you helping me cut the fat and corruption out of the bill? What's your problem? Trump looks at detail guy and says, why are you holding back my bill? I need my bill passed. I need my trillion for the military. Both sides. This is almost, it always works this way. Both sides will clash, and both sides are necessary. If there are couples, husband and wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, couples listening to me, you're laughing right now because one of you is the detail person and one of you is the big picture person, and you fight about it, don't you? Of course you do. That's life. Chris, you and your wife, different? Go ahead, Chris. See the look on his face as he nodded. Yes, yes, they are. That's how it works. Both things are at play here. Now, as far as the GOP goes, there's a lot of talk that the GOP Congress, they're going to all of a sudden start taking these Doge cuts, and they're going to put them in a separate bill. They have to be in a separate bill. We'll put them in a separate bill, and we'll make it law. Why? Have they discovered a love of country they didn't have before? No. They have a love of money they've always had. Elon Musk was writing big GOP checks. The checks stopped coming now that Elon Musk is frustrated with the GOP. This is a lesson in leverage and force. Get it and use it. Elon Musk is using it well. I applaud the guy for it. All right. We are going to have a little talk with Carol Roth. Speaking of money issues, we'll talk with Carol in a moment. Then we're going to do one final segment, and I'll try to get to everything. Some things I may even have to kick for tomorrow. I still have to talk about when you show up at the friggin' airport. First, I have to talk to you about Pure Talk. Speaking of money, I doubt you're about to hear that many flowery things about our economic future. So now's a good time to be saving some money. Switching to Pure Talk's the easiest way to do that, but maybe saving money is not something you're hot on. I get that. You know what the date is, right? It's May 29th. You know June is coming. You know Pride Month is coming. If you have Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, and maybe you've been thinking about this Pure Talk thing. You don't want to go through the hassle. You don't want to. Maybe you've talked yourself out of it a million times. Totally fine. I want you to pay attention during Pride Month to what your mobile company does. And tell me if you're happy that you're funding that, because that's your money paying for the rainbow ads. I don't have to get nervous about my company. Pure Talk doesn't do that. Switch to Pure Talk. Do it now before June, then you can sit back and smile all June. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and it is time for me to put on my nerd hat. Chris always wears his, but I have to put mine from time to time because I don't understand this whole deal about interest rates and Donald Trump meeting with Jerome Powell and everything else, but I bet Carol knows. Joining me now, my friend Carol Roth. You obviously know Carol writes all these wonderful books, including You Will Own Nothing, which is looking more and more prophetic by the day. Okay, Carol, why is Donald Trump meeting with Jerome Powell at all, and why are they arguing?
Well, you know, it used to be that presidents and the head of the Fed didn't meet at all. In fact, I'm old enough that the Fed didn't even matter. But in recent times, it used to be that, you know, they wanted to really keep the Fed as maintaining this sense of independence, which is hilarious because we know that they're political beings. But, you know, in recent years, that's kind of ramped up. Powell and Biden met once. He met with Trump twice during his first term. So it's not, like, entirely unusual. But I think that, you know, it's almost a little bit out of a mafia movie that Mafia Don wanted to have a little discussion with Powell about interest rates. The challenge is that we are in a period of something called fiscal dominance, where fiscal policy is overtaking monetary policy, the stuff that the Fed's in charge of. And basically, whatever Powell does kind of doesn't matter, because as they went back and started cutting interest rates, we saw long-term yields actually go up. So, you know, Donald Trump may not be happy with Powell, but at the end of the day, he should be looking inward to fiscal policy.
Okay, now pause on all this stuff, Carol, because that went right over my head, and that's difficult to do because I'm 6'8". To explain the difference in fiscal policy versus monetary policy and why one is now dominating the other, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so the fiscal policy is the policy that's controlled by the government, things like tax collection and spending. And obviously, that has put us in a bit of a bind because, you know, we've got something like $37 trillion in debt. Whoa. We have deficits that are, at, you know, as a percentage of GDP at a wartime level, but we don't have a war or a recession ongoing. And, you know, the interest that we're paying to service that debt is higher than the amount that we're spending on the defense of our country. So that is fiscal policy, and, you know, it does what it does in terms of the economy. Monetary policy is supposed to come in, and that's what the Fed does in terms of setting interest rates and sometimes playing around in some of the markets, the bond markets and the like. And that's supposed to basically stabilize prices, which they've done a really fantastic job, as we know, over the last 4 years. And it's supposed to, you know, help with things like unemployment. But basically, the tools that they have are just completely ineffectual because of this crazy fiscal situation that was passed on to us by the Biden administration. And so anything that we're doing, it's sort of really lying on the fiscal side. So if you think about what's happened, we have these big deficits, and those need to be financed in the bond markets. They need to go and they need to find debt in order to pay for those. But because there's so much of that, and frankly not a lot of an appetite for people to lend money to the U.S. government, go figure, that, you know, basically that has driven up the yields and the cost of the financing of the debt. But because we have so much, that increases our interest expense. And when our interest expense goes up, you know what happens? Well, that increases the deficit. And what did I just tell you? Increasing the deficit means that we need to finance more, which, all things being equal, will make it more expensive. And when making it more expensive increases the interest rates, and we end up in this vicious cycle until something breaks. And so really, at the end of the day, where we are now, that is dominating anything that the Fed could possibly do, particularly for long-term interest rates, because the Fed directly controls or has more direct control over the short-term rates. The long-term rates are really set in the markets. And so, you know, Donald Trump should be yelling at Congress more than Jay Powell.
Okay, so I guess I'm asking you to speak for someone else. Again, we're speaking with Carol Roth, as you probably figured out by now. I'm asking you to speak for someone else, so I realize I'm asking the impossible, but why doesn't Donald Trump do that? I understand he wants interest rates low. I get that. I get him browbeating Jerome Powell to lower those rates, but Donald Trump is by no means a moron. He has to know what you just said is true. What's going on? What's the game I'm missing?
You know, it's a question mark. You know, he definitely, his administration has a tight rope to walk, because at the same time that we need to cut down on our spending and reduce the deficits, we also came off of a situation where those deficits were propping up the growth of the country. So we have to enhance growth faster than we cut spending, so we also don't increase the deficit. So it's a very difficult path. And I think that his team believes they have the right choreography in order to do this. And so perhaps they're just looking for a scapegoat to buy them time in case, you know, things don't go according to plan or it's a little rocky along that path. But it's a really tough path to climb. So, you know, I don't know that they're necessarily doing the choreography in the right order. But, you know, that I think is what they're navigating. And I will, as I said, I'll be really explicit that this is a difficult thing to do. And so maybe it's just scapegoating.
Carol, there's difficult and then there's impossible, right? I mean, me getting a six-pack is difficult. But probably not impossible. Me making the NFL is impossible. Is it possible to navigate our way out of this? Can it be done by anybody?
It can. It can. And frankly, there are a lot of really crazy tools and tricks that the Treasury, frankly, could use. And, you know, some of the other folks that are associated, even the Fed, if they could get on board, could do. To buy us time and to let us right the ship. There are two problems with, you know, any crazy idea you could come up with, and these are things like, you know, we could write up the value of gold on our balance sheet, or, you know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac could, you know, let you tap the equity of your house to buy treasuries. I mean, there are all kinds of weird things I could come up with and that have been floated out there. The two problems is that pretty much whatever it is they're going to do is going to be inflationary, and we know how people feel about that, but I don't think that's going to be a choice. But the bigger issue is all it does, Jesse, is buy us time. And if Congress doesn't get on board both short-term and then reined in long-term, it's not going to matter, because we're just going to end up back in the situation. And that's really the crux of all of this, is we can buy time, we can navigate, we can, you know, do the hard work, we can endure the pain of inflation, but there needs to be a, you know, something on the other side. And Congress has not shown us, even right now when we have a, you know, GOP control of the Congress and a mandate, clear mandate of what the American people want, that they have, you know, any conviction to do the things that they need to do. And so there, you know, the somewhere between the is it possible, you know, or is it impossible, you know, you tell me, is it possible to get Congress to do what it is that they constitutionally should do? I don't know if that's possible or impossible.
Yeah. So misery for the sake of misery, it's completely pointless. It's like being a vegetarian. She is Carol Roth. Carol, thank you so much for giving us some more wisdom tonight. Much appreciated. And by the way, I do think it's impossible. But either way, that's just cynical Jesse. All right, we only have one more segment left. I want to talk to you about something that is possible. Perfect meat. Perfect meat is not a dream. It's a possibility. What makes a great steak versus a bad one? A great chicken? Well, let's talk chicken for a moment. What is it? It's the temperature. When do you pull it off the grill? When do you pull it out of the oven? When do you pull it off the smoker? Too long? It's dried out. It's garbage. Too short? You go to the hospital and die. Chefman is here. Chef IQ, to be specific, is here to make sure your meat is perfect every time. It's called IQ Sense. It comes in this black charging case, all right? You can get them in ones, twos, threes. I think they even sell them in fours. I use the twos. You put it in your meat. You put it in the oven. You put it on the grill. This wireless cooking thermometer makes it impossible to screw it up. It's perfect every time because your phone tells you when it's done. You leave the thermometer in there and your phone tells you when it's done. I use this thing all the time and everyone thinks I can cook now. Go to chefiq.com, promo code Jesse gets you 15% off. So make sure you use the promo code chefiq.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show before we check out of here until tomorrow. And of course, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Ask me anything. All 3 hours. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com is where you email in your questions. They're already stacking up and they're already good. It's going to be a great day tomorrow. And another reminder that our Memorial Day show from Monday is available. I mean, all of our podcasts are available, but it's like the rest of them. It's free. And if you are into honoring the fallen, some battle history, war history, honoring some heroes by name, there's not even any ads in it. You have to download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Wait a minute. There might be ads in the podcast version. Chris, are there ads in the? Chris said he thinks there are some. Okay, I'm a big fat liar. Whatever. Go download it anyway. And remember, don't focus on just the ads when you listen to it. But if you are looking for a new employee, focus on ZipRecruiter. That's what matters. What, Chris? That's the most important thing right now. If you need somebody, maybe you have a dirt ball. Chris, maybe you have somebody who's not contributing. You need to replace that person. ZipRecruiter has what you need. Maybe you're expanding. ZipRecruiter has what you need. That next prized employee is already waiting there at ZipRecruiter. They're waiting for you. Today, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse and try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Now, a couple stories that made me laugh. I'm sorry. The first one is the headline from NBC News is New York City high school student detained by ICE after a scheduled court appearance. Okay. But then there's the first sentence from the article that says a 20-year-old from Venezuela became the first reported New York City public school student to be detained. I love how the headline, it's a high school student, and then you dig in and, wait, he's 20? Did the baseball team need a new pitcher? You've got to be kidding me with this. Gosh, the media sucks. And the other thing, before I get to maybe an email or two in the headlines, uproar as United Airlines announces a new restriction on check-in rules. Now, far be it from me to defend United Airlines ever for any reason, but they used to have domestic check-in rules that were 30 minutes out. If you don't check in 30 minutes prior to the flight, you don't get to get on the plane. Now they're saying 45 minutes. Okay. People are mad. Okay. Listen. You get to the airport an hour before your flight. Not 2 hours. Not 15 minutes. It's you people. And this is me. It's not like I try to play it safe. Right? If it was up to Ob, we'd be at the airport 5 hours early. I don't do that. I play it right. It's you people who show up 15 minutes before, who screw it up for everybody. You're the reason. You know the person running through security, the person when you're in the security line saying, I'm sorry, can I get by? I'm about to miss my flight. You're the reason. What, Chris? What? No, Chris said that most of the time those are connections that are too close together. No, I'm not talking about connections. That's totally out of your hands. I'm talking about when you get to the airport initially, when you're going through security. If you are ever in a rush going through security, if you don't have time to wait in line, it's your fault. It's your fault. And this is where people will pipe in and they'll say, no, it's not my fault. You don't understand. I have a flat. I had a flat tire. I had a wreck. Really? I planned for a flat tire. You don't? I check the traffic right before I leave so I don't run into traffic. You don't? Prior proper planning prevents beep poor performance, as we were taught several times in the Marine Corps. What, Chris? Chris said, how early? An hour. An hour's plenty. I get to the airport an hour early, no matter what. Domestic, internet, you get to the airport 3 hours. Why? What? You get there 3 hours early? What are you doing? You're planning for traffic in a flat tire? Chris, 3 hours early is not planning for traffic in a flat tire. 3 hours early is planning for the apocalypse in a hurricane during an earthquake. That's ridiculous overkill. I can't. And you, of all people, you spend 3 hours in the airport before your flight with those airport prices? What?
What?
You can read, you can eat, and you're never in a rush. Well, I would hope so, buddy. The airport should start charging you because you live there, apparently, 3 hours before the flight. Gosh, that's ridiculous. El Capitan de Manos Pecanos. I don't even know what that means, but it's true. I've heard you rant on it before, but the stuffed crust pizza always suck. It never lives up to what I want it to be. Why is that? Why can nobody get it right? Says his name is Chris. Well, apparently, Ask Dr. Jesse Friday is starting a little bit early. Here's the problem with stuffed crust pizza. And it's why we all order it once a year. Everybody does. And we're disappointed in it every time. Don't worry, you're not alone. Everybody is. You know why? It looks good. But the problem is you cannot cook the kind of cheese that goes on top of the pizza the same temperature and time that you cook the cheese inside of the crust on the pizza, because the bread is providing, I think I've discovered this, Chris. This is my own theory. The bread is providing a layer of insulation to the crust cheese that the on top of the pizza cheese doesn't have to deal with. The on top of the pizza cheese is exposed to all the heat. The bread stuff has essentially a bulletproof vest. So you get a stuffed crust pizza. It might, I stress this, might be good for the first minute or so. Then, garbage. You can't eat it anymore. What, Chris? That's a very good point. Chris said we've had 40 years to fix this problem. Why can't we? Well, here's my solution. This is where everybody's getting this wrong. In fact, you big pizza chains, especially premier ones like Little Caesars, listen to me. This is what you need to do. You can have a stuffed crust pizza that is good. You need to drop any attempt at putting regular cheese in there and move to the liquid queso, the liquid cheese option. Chris? Oh, you should see the look on his face. That's the look Chris gets when he knows I nailed it. I nailed it, didn't I? He knows I did. Oh, I thought about this. I told you I was up last night thinking. I had a lot of heavy thoughts. This heavy thought is we ran out of time before headlines. I'm sorry, but we might do some tomorrow. Maybe not. It's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I make no promises. You get what you get. Don't throw a fit. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.